Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter. Well, I'm going to read what's in the first chapter, not what's printed there. I'm going to begin with the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The scripture in the bulletin goes on from there. I'll tell you about it. Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts as we're gathered here, and the actions of our lives this coming week, all be acceptable in your sight. Amen. A newspaper report of a wedding went something like this. The bride was radiant and beautifully dressed, her hair plaited with gold, her makeup carefully applied, her dress custom designed by Karl Lagerfeld. With a train of 20 feet, it continued. The groom was also there. The telling of the Christian story, Christmas story, is often not far from this description of a wedding. Mary is the singing mother of the Savior. The focus of the story is so often on her part in the birth of the Messiah. Her name is mentioned in the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. In the Christmas story, Mary has a speaking part. In Christian history, Mary has acquired quite a profile. Through her role in the birth of Jesus, she has become an example of humble obedience, of willing service, of simple faith in the promise of God. In all of the crèche scenes and in the Christian art, Mary is the closest to baby Jesus. Joseph, on the other hand, stands in a crowd with shepherds and wise men. In all the Gospels, he never speaks. He never sings a song. He never gets a mention in the creeds of the church. It is difficult to find a Christmas carol in which his name appears. The truth of the matter is that Joseph just appears around the time of Jesus' birth to play the awkward and embarrassing role of legal guardian and then disappears from the story. Except that one mention at 12 years of age when Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple. And yet we are told a very important thing about Joseph in Matthew's Gospel. Joseph is a righteous man. These words about Joseph come right at the beginning of the story of Jesus that Matthew tells. It is almost as if Matthew, right from the beginning of his gospel, wants to get us to recognize what people who believe in the Messiah are like. Although he never speaks a word, never sings a song, Joseph is a premier disciple of Jesus Christ. He is a righteous man. His righteousness is demonstrated in our reading from Matthew's Gospel. So we return this morning to the story of Joseph to learn about righteousness. Joseph, the righteous man, does not initially know that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And so he makes plans to leave Mary quietly. This may seem rather ordinary until we considered what was ordinarily done in such circumstances in Bible times. Remember, in much of the world, until very recently, arranged marriages were the norm. Most of you have seen or know the story of Fiddler on the Roof. Mary and Joseph's marriage may have been arranged by a marriage arranger, a matchmaker, soon after Mary was born. Under Old Testament law, a woman engaged to be married was guilty of adultery if she lay with another man during the time of her engagement. The penalty for such behavior was death by stoning, both the unfaithful woman and the other man. But Joseph, even at this stage, before he has a full sense of what is happening, is not a cruel man. He's unwilling to expose Mary to public disgrace. He plans to dismiss her. That's the equivalent of divorce, by the way. It took a divorce to get out of an engagement. He's going to divorce her quietly. This is the merciful response of a righteous man. His response in the face of what must have surely been a profound disappointment to him is not the ruthless and retaliatory rule of vengeance. His righteousness is born out of compassion and mercy. He knows the prophet's call to do justice and to love mercy. Even though he doesn't really understand what's going on, we begin to see why Joseph is the one God chose to be the husband of the woman who would bear Jesus. Although he never says a word, never sings a song, we know something about why Joseph is called into the service of the Christ child. Joseph will not make a spectacle of Mary. Caught between the rock of loving the law of God and the hard place of loving Mary, he decides to protect her, even as he dismisses her. There is no vindictive spirit. He does not speak words that she should get what she deserves. Just like Jesus, Joseph is not interested in crushing those who break rules. Just like Jesus, who offered forgiveness to people whom others would have stoned, Joseph mercifully and kindly resolves to divorce Mary quietly. Even in his misunderstanding, Joseph gives us a hint of what his stepson will be like. Joseph is a reliable guide for those of us who want to follow the one who is conceived by the Holy Spirit. A righteous person is merciful. A righteous person is also not afraid of a gospel scandal. The words, "Do not be afraid," continue as Joseph is told to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph is told he is to carry out the plans. He is not to carry out the plans he had made to dismiss Mary. he is told to make the scandalous decision to marry her. And now that he knows that she is with child from the Holy Spirit, this righteous man is called, one, to marry his pregnant fiancée, two, to take responsibility for the child as his own, and three, to name the child Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We readers know that the child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary knows about the Holy Spirit. And now Joseph knows about the Holy Spirit. But the neighbors and the in-laws and the friends do not. What it looks like to people who are not likely to be very understanding and what it is are two different things, very different things. Joseph is one of the very first to be called on to serve the scandalous gospel of Jesus Christ. And in his righteousness consists in his willingness to serve the gospel, even when others see this as a scandalous situation. This is the same gospel we are also called to serve. Like Joseph, even when it could be a scandalous thing. For us, the difficulty may not come in the same form as it came to Joseph. Instead, it may come in the form of accusations of narrowness or lack of tolerance or simple-mindedness. For it continues in our time to be a scandal to believe that God has come among us as one of us to save us from the mess we have made of his creation and of our lives. In spite of what the world says, we do not earn release from our sins by doing or saying certain things. The good news is that God intrudes into our world. The good news is that in the babe born in Bethlehem, God comes among us to grant us release from our sins, a gift that we cannot give ourselves. The righteous, like Joseph, do not celebrate a no-name Christmas. The righteous, like Joseph, are not generic merrymakers. The righteous, like Joseph, serve the gospel of Jesus Christ. For only in him are the hope, peace, and joy, and love of Christmas found. The words to the righteous man, Joseph, are words to us all. Don't be afraid of the scandal of the gospel. Instead, serve this good news. A righteous person is also obedient to God's calling. In order to appreciate Joseph's response to the dreams God gives him, it helps to compare it to God's call to others in the Bible. Almost all of the Old Testament prophets, when they are summoned to take up some service to God, have at least a short conversation with God. Abraham claims that God's call to make him a father of a great nation comes too late in the day. He's already 90 years old. Moses claims he's not a good public speaker when God calls him to service in leading God's people out of Egypt. Jeremiah responds to his call to serve God with words to the effect that he is too young to entertain such a motion. At the very least, in the call to the prophets, there is a short conversation between a protest and God's call. We might have expected a few words from Joseph. I'm just a carpenter. I'm not suited for this kind of work. I've never been good with children. But nothing of the sort takes place. Joseph is asked to take Mary as wife and call the baby Jesus. There's no conversation in the dream. He just takes up the work to which he has been given. Twice again in Matthew's gospel, Joseph has dreams. I wonder if he ever began to be afraid of falling asleep. Take Mary to Egypt, along with the baby. The following day, the family's on its way to Egypt. In the next dream, Joseph is summoned back to Israel. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to the land of Israel. Joseph never speaks a word, but he really speaks very loudly, doesn't he? This lowly carpenter, this man who has always conducted his life without scandal, this man who was an upstanding citizen, this man who could be called a righteous man, this man who never gave a sermon, who never studied at Jerusalem Seminary, he speaks to us with his life. He is called and he plunges into action. Even though he knows it will involve him in a scandal, even though it takes him to Egypt and back, Joseph was obedient to his calling. He served Jesus Christ in a particular place at a particular time. And his example challenges all of us to take up our calling and follow it, wherever it might lead us. Mary's partner, Joseph, the strong, silent type, was a righteous man. On one occasion, Jesus said, "Let those with ears hear." So be it. Amen. As you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.